world that we live in today and all the wrong, thank God we know what the remedy is, and that is Jesus Christ. All right, before we get into the message, we do need to start our business meeting. And so we got it scheduled for tonight. It's January the 5th, 2025. It is our Sunday evening service. So I need a man to make a motion and second that as well so that we can get our business meeting started. So we have a man of the church want to make a motion. Brother Anthony makes a motion. Somebody want a second? Brother Nick's going to second there to open the business meeting. All in favor, say amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started with the business meeting, and we're going to read several things to you real quick. We're going to start out listing our church leadership for 2025. Of course, the pastor is myself, Dr. Terry LeCue. Good to see you, brother. Glad you made it. Church secretary is my wife, Miss Heather LeCue. The church treasurer is Brother Anthony Master. The missions director is also Brother Anthony Master. Our assistant church treasurer is Brother Roberto Valdivinos. And then our trustee and our head usher is Brother Nick Wright. Our nursery coordinator is Miss Heather LeCue. As far as Sunday school teachers are concerned, the adult Sunday school teacher is myself. Teen class, Brother Anthony and Miss Amanda. And then we have 4th, 5th, and 6th grade is Brother Nick Wright. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd grade is Mrs. Chrissy Wright. Our 3, 4, and 5-year-old in kindergarten class is Miss Laura. She's in the nursery right now. Miss Laura Valdivinos. And then the nursery Sunday school teacher is Miss Heather LeCue. Our junior church director is Brother Anthony Master. The evangelist center of our church, Dr. George Thoreau. And thank God for that opportunity there. Our piano player is Miss Heather LeCue. As far as our Cornerstone Baptist Academy staff, principal and teacher, myself, Dr. Terry LeCue. Our kindergarten first grade teacher this year is Miss Heather LeCue. And our all-time star substitute teacher is Mrs. Christy Thoreau. She's always on hand. And then Patch the Pirate is Miss Amanda Master and Miss Heather LeCue. Now, that is our church leadership. As far as our next thing to cover is the blessings from this previous year of 2024. This past year, we've been able to average 52 in our Sunday morning attendance for church. We average 42 in our Sunday school attendance. So we have about a 10-person difference. We need to try to get those 10 people in Sunday school. Amen. Now, we had a Sunday morning high just a couple of weeks ago, and that was for the year of 78. We had 105 first-time visitors this past year. We've had 11 salvations with 6 baptisms. We had 3 rededications. We had 1 person join the church by letter. We had 3 that received reassurance of their salvation. And then we had 3 baby dedications earlier in the year as well. This past year, we had a successful missions conference with Brother Matt Miller here. We took 15 total to Triple S Christian Ranch for church camp. Counting the adults, we took a total of 14 to youth conference there in Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. We were also able to celebrate our 34th church anniversary this past year. We held a 4th of July cookout. We also had a successful vacation Bible school with a video game theme this past year. We averaged 37 in attendance with 2 first-time visitors. And then back in August, we had a successful transition of leadership, Dr. Thoreau going into evangelism, myself becoming the pastor. We were able to enroll 13 students in Cornerstone Baptist Academy this past fall. And we have 1 more that's enrolled for the spring semester. That brings our total to 14 students for this year. This past summer, I was able to, Brother Zach came up and helped me. We were able to replace all the ceiling tiles here in the auditorium. And Brother Thoreau, this past year, had rewaxed the fellowship hall right before the missions conference. We were able to, this fall, spend right at $1,500 fixing and upgrading the mowers that we use here on the property. And so they should last us for several more years. Also, back in August, we were able to separate the Christian school and the Sunday school building. We moved the Christian school from downstairs on the south building up into the parsonage, created space for 3 brand new classrooms, and also separated the Sunday school building from the Christian school so there's no more breaking down and setting back up, and we get that all lined out, and everyone can do their own thing now. We were able to update our sign. Weddle sign came in and updated our sign there in the south lawn. It didn't cost us about $130. We've been able to update our website as well. Brother Anthony's working on more updates to come. Also, we've been able to partner with Tithely. Many of you have noticed the QR code inside our bulletin. And we've partnered with Tithely, their online giving platform. And it's actually, we were able to do it at no cost. and we're able to merge the database that we have with what they use, and they were able to be gracious in that area. And so we partnered with them and adopted a QR code, and it aided in online giving. We've seen several folks be able to join in on the giving of the church. We've also began to upload our messages online. The audio format, it goes on our website about at most 20 minutes after the final amen. And then also we've been able to upload our Sunday school lessons in a PDF format, and still working on getting the rest of those on there. We've also been able to, many of you know, the three offices in the south hallway here, we've been able to repaint and remodel. We put new flooring down, new baseboards, and added new furniture into the three offices as well. Every bit of that's all paid for and taken care of. We've been able to remove the pews that we had here in the hallway and also in the choir loft. We're able to donate those to a needy church, Mount Triumph Baptist Church here in town. Took those, and then we replaced the pews in the choir with chairs. Also, we've been able to replace the front awning lights under our drive-thru, right in front of the front double doors. We've got new LED lights, able to use those for the evening service. And then also this past September, we had an evangelist and his wife come through on a Wednesday night, and they stayed here. They were able to park their camper out back. Our church was able to be a blessing to them, and they parked it there, I believe, for about 3 or 4 days while they were traveling. And then they came back and got it, and it was all lined out and ready to go. We were also able to update and purchase new tracks this year. And so many of you have already seen our new tracks. We've got them outside on the display case, and we debuted those here in January. And so we're looking forward to that. We also are working on currently working on a second design, and Lord willing, we'll have that out by summertime. And that's what we're looking at as far as the projection's concerned. We were able to start, we're in our 11th year of our Christian school. We also had a successful old-fashioned revival with Dr. Dean Miller, and what a blessing to be able to have him here with us. We saw some folks saved during that as well. We had a missionary, Matthew Meads, in for an update. I believe this is his first time he's been back here for about 15 years. And they gave us a honorary flag with the Vanuatuan Islands all embroidered on there, so that was exciting. And we've got that in the back. We're going to be using that every missions conference now as well. We were able to get together and deliver 25 food baskets this past November with the different needs that were taken care of. Downstairs in our south building, our Sunday school building, it would have been my old classroom, the back corner. That is our new storage room. We've been able to remodel that. We tore out all the old desks that were in there, and we put up a new shelving and got that all set up for our new storage room for flowers and all the different decor. This, just about 2 weeks ago, we had 4 new lapels donated to the church, and we were able to use those during the cantata. So God blessed, and God provided that need there. We had a successful Christmas toy store. I want to thank all those that were involved in that. We had so many children that were able to have a wonderful Christmas. Many of them would not have been able to have. We thank God for your participation. And then we also had a successful Christmas cantata. Our kids, they did a phenomenal job. I believe we had 100 in attendance that Sunday night. And so that was a blessing to be able to see. And we had enough food for all the arguing Baptists. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. All right, let's move on to our calendar. I need a couple of men up here real quick. We're going to pass out these calendars for the year. Let me get that to Brother Roberto. Everybody can get one. I've printed off plenty of them. All the kids can get one. Teenagers can get one. All the adults can get one. Everybody can get a calendar. So this is going to be a calendar for the whole year. And so you see several things that are going to be on this calendar. A lot of new activities. It is front and back. There is there's some things that's not on the calendar. So I'll go ahead and preface with that. We will be adding a couple of small activities here and there. And then all the teen activities for the year, we'll add those, and they'll be in the bulletin as those things come up and different class activities. But generally speaking, these are the events that are going to take place during the church year. All right. So today, Vision Sunday, we have our business meeting on the 5th. Tomorrow, second semester begins on the 8th, Pastor Pirate. You see all the different things there. On the 12th is observing the Lord's Supper. And of course, we observe the Lord's Supper once a quarter. And so we've got the dates in here when we're going to do this. We've got our budget meeting. It's going to be on the 26th. We have Pastor Pirate performance on February the 2nd. The week of President's Day, February the 17th, that is also the week of our missions conference. We will not have school the whole week. And all the kids said amen. And so we'll get that all lined out and ready to go. Missions conference with Brother Matt Miller is going to be that Wednesday through Sunday. We have Brother Jason Mann, missionary to Macedonia, coming in as a missionary as well, him and his wife and three teenagers. And then we have a single missionary, Caleb Shelby, missionary to Israel. He's coming in for the missions conference as well. So we're looking forward to that. I'm going to have a couple new missionaries with us. And then the Monday after our missions conference, February the 24th, this is something that Brother Thoreau and I have talked about for probably the last 3 or 4 years. And we're beginning to institute it. I think we instituted it last year. I don't remember. But the Monday after missions conference, because missions conference is so busy, we're taking that school day off, the Monday following missions conference. But you'll see that it's on your schedule. Patch performance is going to be March the 2nd. We have a field trip. School parents, you'll notice on your school calendars, it's supposed to be March the 7th. We're moving the field trip to March the 6th, and it's because of the events that we have planned for the next day. We're going to Tulsa Space and Aeronautics Museum that Thursday. And then, I had mentioned to you this morning, we're going to be going to some men's conferences. Ladies, you're going to be going to some ladies' conferences, just like our teenagers go to teen conference, and just like our kids go to church camp. We're going to get some adults involved in different activities. And there's a men's conference that's put on an Ambassador Baptist Church there in Greenbrier, Arkansas. Brother Danny Allen's the pastor. He's the pastor that I worked for a couple of years before we moved up here. Been talking with him periodically, and even talked with him again this morning. And we're looking forward to being there. Brother Jeff Fugit is the guest speaker for that men's conference. And it's just going to be on a Friday, and it'll end Saturday at lunchtime. So it'll start Friday night at 6 o'clock, and it'll end Saturday at lunchtime. And so we'll go down there. We have a hotel stay that'll be there in Conway, and then we'll go to the conference and have a good time. While we are gone, the ladies are going to go shopping. So men, while we're going to go get spiritual, the ladies are going to go spend all of our money. I'm just kidding. But he says, oh my. Daylight savings time, you set your clocks ahead 1 hour, as long as that stuff doesn't get canceled by our politicians. But we're planning on that for March 9th. Spring break, the 10th to the 14th. And then you'll notice during spring break, we're going to kick off our Thursday night visitation again. And so we're going to run that from March until October. And so that'll go from March until October. We ran into some things several years ago, and Brother Thoreau and I was in discussions about it on multiple occasions, that a lot of times, especially in our town, people do not answer the door after dark. And it's a safety reason. And so as far as our visitation is scheduled, when the time change goes back an hour and it starts to get darker earlier, then we're not going to go out that Thursday evening anymore. And so we'll do it from March to October, and then we'll take it off for the winter months, and then we'll kick it back off come springtime again. And we're still going to have our Saturday visitation as well. And so this is going to create some more opportunities. I know some people have to work on Saturdays, but they have Thursdays off. And so it's going to create some more opportunities for people to get involved and plugged in. We have a spring cleanup day, which is our church work day. It will begin at 8 o'clock on April the 5th. That is on a Saturday. And so we'll have everything lined out and ready to go. There's a lot that we'll get done on that day. We'll give some details as we get a little bit closer. But we're going to be pressure washing concrete. We may be replacing some freeze boards. Men, we're going to be digging out some plants that have some added growth here on the property. We're going to be getting rid of a lot of stuff. And so a lot of things are going to be taking place. We're going to have a busy, busy cleanup day. Patch performance will be on April 6th. And then you'll notice this is the year for our standardized testing for our Christian school. And that'll be in the middle of April. And then we have a missionary, John McDaniel. I believe he's missionary to the Navajos. And he'll be with us on a Wednesday night, presenting his work and preaching for us as well. We have Resurrection Sunday on the 20th. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper that night as well. And you notice the picture day, we've moved that. It's on Wednesday. Incredible Pizza's on Thursday. Ladies' Conference. And so our ladies are going to be going to a ladies' conference down at Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. The same place we take our teenagers to in August, we're going to be starting to take our ladies to in April. And they have put on a phenomenal ladies' conference. And Ms. Heather Sexton does a phenomenal job with that. And we're looking forward to our ladies being a part of that this upcoming year. We have our 35th church anniversary on May the 4th. So that Saturday, we're going to run our bus, and we'll have our junior church on that Saturday.
We went on a men's shopping trip that day with our
other
town.
It's
only fair.
No, he might be driving us.
We're taking the church van. I'll be driving them, because you don't want Miss Heather driving a church van. on that specific day? No, ma'am. We'll cancel it on that day. Yip, yip, yip. So we'll have Saturday Junior Church with the Bounce House on May the 3rd, and then our 35th church anniversary. Dr. George Thoreau is going to be our guest speaker for that day, and that'll be exciting. We look forward to having him preach for us again. And then Past Performance is going to be on the May 4th that night, and then our school's going to end on the 9th. That is half a day of school, and then, of course, Mother's Day, and then kindergarten graduation is coming up that Sunday night. Yeah, so excited. I'm ready to get out of her class. You'll notice there's an additional thing we've added. We have a church-wide yard sale we're going to do at Lil Q's house. And so this is going to be something that we've decided to do to help different families be able to pay for the youth conference and for the church camp. And so the teenagers, if they want help with their church camp, they need to come and help participate with the actual yard sale. And so we'll work toward that. And so anybody who wants to get involved in that, we'll give some more details as that gets a little bit closer. But you'll notice we also have a men's breakfast we're going to be doing there on May the 24th. We got it scheduled Memorial Day weekend on the 26th there. And then Brother David Sexton, he's the pastor at Bethel Baptist Church down in Walls, Mississippi. He's going to be our guest speaker the first Sunday in June. He's going to be with us all day long. And so we're looking forward to having him with us. Also, we are moving back our Sunday School Promotion Sunday. It's no longer going to be in August. We're going to begin to do that at the beginning of the summer. And so we're going to promote them in June. And then church camp, we typically want to go the first week of June. Currently, that first week is booked, and it's never been booked this early in the year. And so we're looking to go that second week. I'm going to try to get that booked for us tomorrow. Father's Day is on June 15th. We've got the 4th of July cookout we're going to still do. It'll be on Friday, July the 4th. Our Vacation Bible School is going to be the third week of July, July 14th through the 17th. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper the following Sunday on the 20th. And then, of course, Youth Conference will be at the end of July, beginning of August, July 31st, August 2nd. And then our one-year anniversary of being pastor's wife there. Teacher in-service week, getting ready for the school and getting that lined out. Pastor Pirate will begin. Instead of us beginning in September after Labor Day, we're going to begin when school starts. And so get that all lined out. So August the 6th, Pastor Pirate's going to begin. So we're moving some things up. And then parent orientation is August the 8th. That'll be at 6:30. We'll have some pizza, and we'll have plenty of pizza this time, I promise you. Brother Roberto won't be able to eat it all. First day of school will be on August the 11th. Our Fall Harvest campaign is in September. Labor Day, no school on September the 1st. Pastor Pirate Performance is going to be on September the 7th. Field trip, we're going to the Science Museum on the 19th. We have our old-fashioned revival on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Brother Tony Hudson is a pastor of Middle Tennessee Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and he's going to be here as our guest speaker on that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Looking forward to that. I've talked with him on several occasions, and he's looking forward to being here and being a help as well. We've got a pastor performance on the 5th. And then this is a special day that we're going to be having in October. And we've got it listed as First Responder Sunday. So what we're going to be doing as a church is we're going to recognize and try to honor our police officers, our fire department, and the EMS and EMT workers here in our town and even in the surrounding towns. I'm going to get in contact with all the different branches and try to give some different recognition points to them. And we'll have their flags flying in different areas here on the church property. And so that's going to be a big Sunday for us. We're looking forward to that. And I think we ought to recognize those that do many things sacrificially for not just our families, but of course our country, our community as a whole. And our first responders oftentimes are many times overlooked, especially in the climate and society we live in today. Most of the times they're the ones that are taken for granted. And many people are treating them in a wrong way. So we're going to try to honor them the best that we can as a church. And so we've got a day set aside specifically for them, and that'll be on October the 12th. And then we have our Academy fall break. Do the Lord's Supper again in October there. Final Thursday evening visitation will be on October 23rd. And then we have a ladies' day out. You're going to go shopping somewhere out of town, and you're going to go spend more money. And then daylight savings time, as long as, again, our politicians don't get rid of it. And then past performance as well on the 2nd. We have men's breakfast. We're going to meet up at Fat Boys. And that is not a dig at anybody, I promise. That is the name of the restaurant. November the 8th. Fat Boys is over there on Wyandotte, right across from Pruitt's. Food basket delivery day is going to be in November. We have our Thanksgiving break, Thanksgiving Day, Pastor Bucks. And then, of course, you'll notice cantata practice, our Christmas party. and cantata practice again. We are also separating our cantata and our Christmas toy store. Many of you know it's a very, very busy Sunday when we have our big Sunday with the toy store in the morning, the cantata in the evening, and the potluck at night. And so it's been very, very busy with that, very stressful. So what we're going to do is we're going to separate the two. And we're going to have our Christmas cantata followed by our potluck on the second Sunday in December. That'll be December the 14th. And then the third Sunday in December will always be the Sunday before Christmas. And we're going to have our Christmas toy store during that morning service there on the 21st. All right, and then, of course, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So that is your schedule for the upcoming year. Now, what I want to get to, the goals. Let me break down these goals for you. There's some different things we're going to look to do this upcoming year in the year 2025. So we're going to set some numbers to our goals. I believe in the statement, goals set and goals met. I believe we ought to set some definitive goals rather than just saying we want to see generically, we want to see growth. We're going to put some actual numbers to it, and I believe there's a reason for that. We ought to see some different things take place. Now, growth in attendance is always a goal that we want to see happen. Currently, I shared with you during our blessings, we were able to average this past year 52 in our Sunday morning attendance. Next year, by this time, I want to see the church averaging 70 on Sunday mornings. That is an increase of 18 people. That is, you may say, well, that's not a lot of people. No, it's not, but it's attainable. And it's something that we ought to shoot for, something that we ought to strive to meet. I do want to see, as well, set some goals in our church for an increase in salvations and baptisms. This specifically, I will not put a number to, because God's the one that is in control of salvations. And we can't put a number to specifically to salvations, but I do want to see us increase that. This past year, we were able to see 11 saved and 6 baptized. So far this year, we have 1 saved and 1 baptized, and we're looking to increase that from here. And that is exciting. Yes, yes. Now, we want to see growth also in our Christian school. We currently have, as of tomorrow, 14 students enrolled. Our attendance record for the academy is 15. Now, that's just one more student. We've got several folks that have been inquiring about the Christian school and been asking about the Christian school. I went back and checked my records. Yes, 15 is the highest we've ever had at any given time. We've had promises of more. I think 3 or 4 years ago, we had promise of about 17, and that was right before we had a couple students move, and some different things happened. So anyway, our record is 15, and we're looking to break that this year. So this upcoming fall, we're looking to, Lord willing, enroll 15 or more. And I want to be able to break that attendance record. Also, one of the goals, we're going to start up our Thursday night visitation. You've seen that on the schedule. And then also, one of the goals I have set for our church is I want to see spiritual growth in each of our members. We passed out our Through the Bible in 1 year calendar. I would love to see 100% participation across the board. All right, I would love for everybody to get involved with that. But I want to challenge at least half of our church to commit to reading through the Bible this year. We had a raise of hands a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was last week, on how many people have never read through their Bible. And it was not to embarrass. It was not to intimidate. It was not the reason. It was to show the importance and the necessity of us getting into the Word of God. And so I would love for half of our church to commit to reading through the Bible this year. Now, again, we're running 52 on Sunday mornings. That means there's 26 people that need to commit to reading through their Bible this year. And I'm going to ask by the end of this year, coming up, when we get to the January of next year, I'm going to ask how many people read through their Bible in this past year. And so I will be following up with that. I want to encourage you, read through the Word of God. The more Bible you get into you, the less of the world will be in there. All right? Trash in, trash out. Goodness in, goodness out. Righteousness in, righteousness out. It's a basic truth. And so we want to get half of our members to commit to reading through their Bible this year. Let me ask you this question. How many people have already started reading through their Bible this year? There's over half the congregation right there. So keep it up. Keep it up. Friday is National Quitters Day. Make it past Friday. No, just keep on plugging. Also, we currently support 15 missionaries as a church. We'll take on 2 more missionaries when they come to our missions conference this year, and that will tie the most that we have supported at any given time in the history of this church. I went back and looked at all the different records. The most missionaries we've ever supported at any one singular time was 17 missionaries at once. And so we're looking to tie that by the end of our missions conference at the end of February, and then we're looking to take on some more. I want our church to be able to support 20 missionaries by the end of this year. All right? That means we need to continue to give by faith. We need to continue to express our love for the Lord. That means we're going to take on 5 new missionaries this year. And so that's an encouragement and a challenge for us to be able to stay faithful in our missions. And that'll commit us to be able to give $1,000 a month to missions and or to missionaries as far as foreign missionaries are concerned. And then, of course, we still believe in domestic missions through our bus ministry and through the visitation program. A lot of that, we'll talk about that when it comes to our budget meeting. We also want to see a goal set of growth in our building fund account. Many of you don't know this, but we've partnered with Tithely. I've shared that with you. Brother Anthony, I've gotten with them, and we've set it up through our building fund account. And so that is set aside as becoming our sinking fund account. And so basically it's going to be a savings account. So anytime we're going to build that account up through any online giving, we're going to try to pay the bills with everything else that comes in. Anything that comes in online, we're going to set aside in that building fund account and then build that up. And as it gets built up, then we're going to pay different bills off. And so there are different charge accounts that the church has, different bills that come up, and even different building projects as well. And we want to try to pay these bills off and be able to cash flow the different projects that we have planned for this upcoming year. I'll get to that in just a moment. Now, we have a men's conference that's coming up. I would love to be able to take a total of 8 men to the conference. As far as the men's conference is concerned, I've talked with Brother Allen, and it's teenagers are welcome if they are 10th grade and older. All right, and so teenage boys that are 10th grade and older can go, and then adult men as well. And so I want to take 8 men to the men's conference, so you've got the schedule. Get with your workplace and begin to set those dates in now. And I know most people have Saturdays off, but taking off a Friday, and we're going to leave here right at about noon. So we're going to go half a day in the school that Friday, and we'll leave here at noon because it's just a 3.5-hour drive there to Conway. We'll eat lunch, and then we'll skedaddle because it doesn't start until 6 o'clock that night. That'll give us time to get checked in to the hotel and give us time to go and eat while we're there. And they've got some phenomenal restaurants. And then we'll go to the conference. For the ladies' conference, I have a goal of taking at least 10 ladies to our ladies' conference. Now, we've got 10 ladies that can go to that. That's not a problem at all. And so let's put in those dates now. Let's get planned and prepared for that. Youth conference, looking to take 15 this year to youth conference. All right, so we're looking forward to that. Also, and that's, of course, adults and teenagers going. And then church camp, looking to take 20 to church camp. And so we're looking to see an increase as far as our young people is concerned. And then for Vacation Bible School, we were able to average 37 this past year. I would love to see us average 50 for Vacation Bible School. That's a genuine increase. And so looking forward to see what God does in that area. Now, I've made the statement several times over the last several months. We need to steward well what God has given us if we want God to give us more. If we can't steward well what we currently have, then God's not going to give us more because we've not been faithful in the few things, so why would he give us additional things? So our goal is to update, upgrade, and beautify the house of God. We're going to do everything that we can to add some character and update some different things here in the church. And we've been able to do that already over the course of the last several months. And so what we're looking, we need to invest anywhere between $7,500 and $10,000 over the course of this next year into these different building projects and different things to update some stuff here in the church. Again, we'll talk more about the budget aspect and how that's going to get done by the end of this month, but I'm laying the goals out for you right now. So what I want to do is we need to, this is a need, we need to invest between $2,500 and $3,000 into our church van to be able to fix a few things that are on there. I've talked with Brother Jeff about it on a couple of different occasions. We have a vacuum pump that needs to get fixed. Many of our kids noticed on the way home from church camp, it got very, very warm inside that church van. And so when you begin to climb and begin to haul different things, there's a crack in the vacuum pump, and we need to replace the vacuum pump. But in order to do that, you've got to remove quite a bit of stuff to be able to get to it. So it's a very laborious project. Also, we need to replace the fuel gauge sensor in the church van, and we also need to look at replacing the driver's door as well. And that's going to take about that much to be able to do all those different things. I would love for us to be able to invest closer to $5,000 into the church van if we have the finances for it, because we also need to adjust and fix or update the springs, the shocks, and the suspension in the van. Many of you know the further back you ride in the van, the more difficult it becomes to stay located in your seat. So, but we need to update that. Now listen, our van's not a bad van. It has less than 66,000 miles on it, and it's a 2012. Now that's phenomenal. And so it's got phenomenal mileage on it. One day, yes, we're going to pray about purchasing a new van. It's not going to be for the next couple of years. And that'll be for outings and for traveling. We'll go to different meetings and things. And then we'll keep the white van that we currently have and use that for our van route. And one day down the road, we'll have two vehicles. And we're looking to do that, but that'll be a couple of years down the road. And so right now, we can make what we have. But we need to continue to invest in it to make sure that it continues to stand the test of time. Now, big project that I want to get done this spring. And we're going to start this in March, April. And we're going to get this knocked out. We're going to remodel and redecorate our nurseries. Many of you know we've already redone our offices. We need to update our nurseries. A lot of the furniture, this building here specifically, was built in 2005 in the dry. I think it was in the dry in 2005, and Brother Thoreau got in here and finished it all up, and I think the first service in here was in 2007, I think. Anyway, I have to go back and look at the records. But anyway, the building is aging, basically what I'm saying. It's not bad aging, but it's aging. That means 17, 18 years as far as this building is concerned. With that being said, we've not invested a lot of money into the remodeling of these different rooms. And the nursery itself, if we're going to bring in young couples that have babies, then we need to upgrade our nursery so that the babies and the mothers will feel comfortable in our nursery. And these are some of the things that we're going to be doing. It's going to cost right around $2,500 for us to update and upgrade our nurseries, and that means we're going to rip the flooring out just like we did here in the offices, and we're going to put snap-in flooring. We're going to put the LVP, the luxury vinyl planks, and that's the waterproof flooring. That way, if there's any spills or any upchucks, any of that good stuff, then we can just mop it up. It won't be a problem. So we're going to put the good stuff down, the LVP. And then also, we're going to be painting the walls. We're going to install, of course, baseboards and everything. One of the things we're going to do on the infant side is we're going to install what I'm calling a nursing station. The nursing mothers need to be able to have some privacy when it comes to nursing their child. And we have multiple doors that come into our nursery, and they need to be able to feel comfortable going in there and feeding their child without somebody walking in on them and them exposing themselves. And so we're going to install a nursing station for privacy. We're also going to be replacing all the furniture, and we can do all the furniture literally for less than $800. And that's new baby beds, that's pop-up cribs, that's several different changing tables, and even chairs as well. And so we'll get that all lined out. Yes, those are old. And then the changing table in there was Hannah's. And so they're a little outdated. We're also going to be updating the toys, and then we're going to be installing two supply cabinets in the nursery. That way we'll have extra diapers, wet wipes, different snacks and things in case if a mother runs out or the diaper bag doesn't get refilled, and then we'll have things on hand. And so there's no reason a child should suffer because something got overlooked. And we've all, those of us that have had children, you've overlooked filling the diaper bag before. And so we've all been there. Those aren't critical statements. That's just life. And so we're going to look to remodel and redecorate our nurseries, and we're looking forward to that. Also, one of the things I want to also do this upcoming year, and it'll be, of course, later towards the summer, maybe towards the fall, I want to redecorate our baptistry rooms. I'm going to pull out all the furniture that's in the baptistry rooms, and we're going to repaint those. Many of you know the walls are white. We got the paneling on the walls as well. I'll repaint those the camel color, paint over all the paneling that's in there. But I want to put in a couple of chairs, the captain chairs, just like we have here on the platform, but also out in the lobby. Put two captain chairs and then a table right in the center with a Bible on it. And those will be our decision rooms. So during the invitation, when somebody's being dealt with about their salvation, instead of going out into one of the lobbies, instead of going into one of the offices, go into one of the baptistry rooms. That way, that could be where a person's being dealt with about their salvation. You will not get interrupted in there. But you have the risk, and many of us know, you go into an office, well, that office is off limits until that person is dealt with completely. But you can have full freedom, and you can take as long as you need to being able to deal with people in the decision rooms. And so that's one of the things we're going to be doing. as well. And then we're also, many of you know, on our south hallway, we have all our prayer letters down the hallway, and we're going to be updating that. Right now we have them in plastic forms. We set that up several years ago, and there's some different things that we're looking to do, but we're going to be updating our prayer letters and putting some nice placards there on the wall to represent our missionaries and to recognize them. And we're also going to be updating our signage throughout the building. Now, a lot of times what we do is we take for granted that we know where everything is at. But most visitors don't. All right. And one of the first things that somebody comes, when they come to a new church, one of the first things they ask for is a bathroom. All right. And most of the time, even when you go into a store or you go into a place, one of the first things you do when you look for locations of things is you look up, because there's signage everywhere up. And so we're going to begin to put some different signage in different places to be able to locate different places here in the church and be able to recognize that. We're also going to be updating our door placards, especially in our Sunday school building, getting all that updated and upgraded. I've been in talks with Diamond Trophy here in town, getting that ready to go. One of the other things that we're going to be doing, it should be finished in the next couple of weeks. The new sign, we got some new signage going to go out in the lobby. And we've got a metal sign with an LED backlight that we're going to be doing. And we'll put our new logo out there in the lobby. And so we're going to look forward to that. That's going to be running at all times. And so even when the lights are off in there, people will be able to look through the front door and they'll see the name of our church lit up in an LED form. It's going to look beautiful. And then we'll be able to have different colors that we can put behind it for different seasons. And so Christmas season, you can put the red behind it or the green behind it. When it comes time for Resurrection Sunday, we can put the purple behind it and just be able to highlight different aspects. And then one of the other things we want to do is, if we're able to get to it this year, I would love to be able to install a metal world map underneath our world missions television that we have out in the lobby. There's a huge open space, and Brother Thoreau, when we built that, we discussed having the television a little bit higher so we could be able to put a world map underneath it, and that's one of the things that we want to be able to do as well, and be able to put some LED lighting behind that as well. And so the LED logo out in the lobby will cost right around $500. The LED metal world map is going to cost, Lord willing, under $750. And so that's what we're looking at there. And then I've been in conversations with Weddle Signs. Many of you have been asking relentlessly about what are we going to do with the bare wall in the back of the church. And there's some stencil art that we're going to put some verses on the back walls, one on each wall. We're going to put the verse 2 Corinthians 5:7 on one wall. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And then on the other wall, we're going to put Genesis 18:14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And we're going to put that in decorative art stencil and or calligraphy art. And so I've been in contact with Weddle Signs about that, and they're going to get back with me, Lord willing, within the next week or so, about a cost. They've been very tied up as far as things were concerned. Now listen, we've had a phenomenal previous year. God's been working. God's blessing. We've set a theme for this year of I Want That Mountain, and we've got some mountains set in front of us now. We've got some goals set in front of us now. So at this time, what I want to do is I want to open the floor for any questions that anyone might have regarding the blessings themselves. That's self-explanatory. The leadership is self-explanatory. But any questions if anyone has towards our calendar or towards our church goals? Yes, sir. Yes, it'll end at noon, and then we'll eat lunch, and then we'll come back that day. And so we should be back home here before dark. So we'll be here before 8 o'clock. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah, those are going to be little bitty activities that we do. I didn't want to put a big Super Bowl party on there. I don't want you to think we're going to put it on the screens or anything. Huh? Praise the Lord. Yeah, you would. Hey, we'll do it. We've done it. It'll be good. Yes.
Whether yard sale, but everything that is sold there will go strictly towards their camp. And so if any church members want to get rid of anything, then we can use that for the yard sale.
Yes. Got to pay somebody to take them. But yes, yes, thank you for that. Anybody else? Any questions? No? All right, I think we covered everything then. All right, well, thank you again for everything. We've covered everything we need for this business meeting. So if I can get a motion and then a second to close the business meeting, and we're going to move along with the service. We've got a motion to close it. We've got a second to close it. All right, all in favor say amen. All right, and we will look to do that this year. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Go to Joshua chapter 14. Again, we're going to cover some stuff when it comes to our budget meeting, and we'll lay out a valid plan for us to be able to accomplish several of the things that we've laid out for you. And I'm excited about the new things that we're going to be doing and looking forward to the new opportunities that we're going to be able to have, and very, very excited about what God's going to be doing in our midst. Grab your Bibles. Joshua 14. When you get there, stand with me. Joshua 14. As I've stated, our theme is I Want That Mountain. We've laid some mountains out for you tonight. And so the title of this message or this final charge is going to be Desiring That Mountain. Desiring That Mountain. How we can desire the mountain, but also how we can claim hold of the mountain that we desire. Joshua chapter 14. We were here this morning. Look at verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we're desiring some things to be done in our midst and in our church. We're desiring for some great things to be taking place and some activities, some different events, some projects, some building, some beautifying, some edifying of the people of God. Looking forward to some great things happening. But Lord, we've got a desire set before us, and now help us as we try to understand how this desire can be hindered, but also how it can be helped and how we can begin to achieve that which you've laid out before us. Bless us, use us, we'll praise you and thank you. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We preached a message this morning entitled I Want That Mountain. If you missed that, go back online. We have it uploaded on the website already. I Want That Mountain. We talked about Caleb and how we can possess that mountain and how we can claim the promises of God. And I gave you the three different points on that. The first thing Caleb did was he had faith in the covenant of God. Secondly, he had a fervor or a fire for the cause of God. And then he followed closely to his God. Now, understand that he had a desire. He had a passion that was set in his heart that he wanted the mountain that God had promised him. Now, when you desire something that God has given you, there's some steps that we follow. Now, let's look at the desire that Caleb had here for Mount Hebron. Specifically, because we see that it's called Hebron there in verse number 13 and 14. Now, first I want you to notice the sparking of the desire. Number one, the sparking of the desire. Look at verse number 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was, notice the last three words, in mine heart. Here he had a desire for what he had seen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Now, when we view certain things, we begin to get a burden for certain aspects. And then we begin to develop that heart's desire and that love towards that thing that we have now noticed. Now, I learned this as I began to work in the bus ministry as a teenager. When you go to these kids' houses and you begin to see the way that many of them are living and the lives that they have and the way that many of the families are treating these young people and the fact that they're not getting an encouragement, they're not getting any kind of involvement as far as being able to serve the Lord, it gives you a burden. Why? Because you've seen how they're living. You've seen the effects of what the world is doing in their life, and it causes you to have a burden. Here, Caleb had seen the land that God had promised to him, and it sparked a fire, it sparked a passion, it sparked something inside of his heart, and he desired this specific place, this specific mountain. Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Here, not only did Caleb desire this mountain, he did everything that he could to obtain that mountain. Now, he wanted this mountain from the first time that he had spied out the land. And he had seen this, and he began to claim the promises of God. But I want you to notice something back in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We're going to look at these promises of God specifically. Deuteronomy chapter 11, look at verse number 22. It says, "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." Is that not what Caleb was doing? He was desiring a nation that was greater than himself. Verse 24, "Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be." Here we see specifically about the desire that Caleb had. I want you to notice first in verse number 22, the parameters. Notice the parameters. Here, we know in Joshua chapter 14 that God said about Caleb specifically on three separate occasions that he wholly followed after the Lord. But notice in verse number 22, it says, "For if," this is a contingency, "if you do this, then," in verse 23, "I will do this. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him." Listen, we've set some mountains in front of us as a church. How are we going to be able to climb those mountains? How are we going to be able to conquer the mountains that God has set before us? Well, first we need to look at the parameters. We have got to begin to love the Lord God with all of our hearts. We have got to begin to follow after everything that God has commanded us. We have got to walk into his ways, and we've got to cleave to him. We got to hold on to God rather than holding on to the things of this world. Here we see the parameters of our desire. But secondly, in verse number 23, I want you to notice the possibilities. Notice what the Bible says. "Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." Understand tonight that when we set some goals in our lives, when we begin to sit down and put some specific measures in our lives, "I want to be able to accomplish this for God," notice the possibilities that God gives us. There's going to be some parameters to the goals, yes. In order to achieve those goals, we've got to follow through, and we've got to be able to walk with God. We've got to be able to spend time with God like we should. But understand tonight the possibilities that God gives us. Nothing will be withheld from us if we're following after God. See, there's no goal that is too great that we can set in our lives, as far as our church is concerned, to be able to accomplish for God. See, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to set small goals and get little wins. I'm all for getting little wins, little accomplishments. Everybody can buy into the vision and jump on board with the vision and see what God is doing. Listen, we've seen some great accomplishments. Just in the last 4 months, we saw 57 first-time visitors in our church. We've seen some great wins. We've seen God do some good things. We've seen some growth. We've seen God bless. But listen, the possibilities are endless. The possibilities are endless. Notice verse 23. "Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess" what? "Greater nations and mightier than yourselves." You see, the thing that everybody else looks at and say, "Look, that church can't accomplish that. They're too small and that city's too big. They can't do that." God laughs at that and says, "You can do it." All the possibilities are right in front of us. All we've got to do is set God as our marker, begin to climb the mountain that God has set before us, and begin to accomplish some things for God. We've got great possibilities that have been set before our church. He said, "Greater nations, mightier nations than yourself." What can we do? We can conquer them. Why? Because we serve a God that can conquer anything. The same God that led them through the wilderness. The same God that provided manna when there was no food. The same God that gave them water in a dry and a barren desert is the same God that we serve today. And while the parameters may be that we need to follow after God with every bit of our hearts, when we do that, the possibilities are endless. God can do anything in our church if we would just be willing to allow God to work in us and through us. Then I want you to understand the promise in verse 24. He says, "Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours." Every place that you walk is going to be yours. See, when you set a goal for God and you begin to pursue that goal for God and for the glory of God, then when we begin to pursue that, we begin to follow after God wholeheartedly and begin to do everything that God has commanded us to do, God says, "Everything that you come across, I'm going to bless. Every place that the sole of your foot covers is going to be yours. And when we're climbing some mountains for God, and we're setting aside some different parameters for being able to serve God, and we understand the possibilities when it comes to our service for God, understand that God makes us a promise. He says, everything that you see is going to be yours. Caleb never forgot that. And when it came to being able to claim the mountain that God had set before him, it didn't matter if he was 40 or if he was 85. Remember, he was 85 and still climbing mountains. At 85 years old, he said, look, I'm just as strong now as I've ever been. Let's go fight. Love it. He had a desire. He had a desire that sparked in his heart. And let me ask you tonight, what kind of mountain do you desire in your life? Do you desire the mountain of a dynamic prayer life? Do you desire to get a little bit closer to God? How about having the mountain of a deeper walk with God? You want to walk closer to God now than you've ever been before? How about the mountain of a devoted spouse that loves God just as much as they love you? Or loves you just as much as they love God? How about that? How about the mountain of a dedicated family to serve God with you? As the man leads the wife, the husband leads the wife, and they lead the children together, they're dedicated to serving God together. How about the mountain of a door of service that God's going to open up to you? Some mountains that we've got set before us, a great and effectual door of opportunity. How about the mountain of a desperate longing to be used by God? When was the last time you laid yourself out at an altar and said, God, I want to be used by you, whatever it takes, whatever you want? The sparking of a desire here. Caleb was able to achieve great things for God, because he allowed that desire to fester and to grow. He didn't allow that fire to burn out. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 14. Not only do we see in verse number 7 the sparking of this desire, but I want you to notice in verse number 8 the setbacks of this desire. The setbacks. Understand, when you desire to do something for God, the devil's going to make sure he puts some setbacks in your life. The devil's going to make sure that he does everything he can to allow somebody to show up to begin to question whether or not you can really serve God the way you want to. Notice verse number 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Remember, Caleb and Joshua were the only two people out of 12 spies that had the desire to achieve what God laid before them. They said, look, we can go and conquer the land. But everybody listened to the other 10. And he said, what did he say about them? Specifically in verse 8, he says, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people what? Melt. Literally means he made them to fall apart. To melt, to squelch any kind of desire, any kind of passion, any kind of love for God. It caused them to melt. It caused them to back away. It caused them to recede from stepping forward about what God had for them. Here we see the setback, and you can go back, and we don't have time to go look at it specifically, but back in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, you'll find the story. In Numbers 13 verses 31 and 32, you'll see the setback of false reports. You see, Caleb and Joshua came and they began to talk about the giants that were there in the fenced cities, yes, but they began to talk about the giant grapes, and they talked about the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they talked about all the good that could be done in that location. But where they saw the blessings of God, everybody else just saw the enemy. They just saw the giants. They got scared because of the giants. They got scared because of the walled cities. They got scared because of the fenced embankments. They got scared. And they didn't see the blessings of God because they were focused on everything else. This is the setback of false reports. Let me tell you right now, don't listen to all the negativity. Don't listen to all the negativity. There's going to be people in your life that are going to be negative about you serving God. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Listen, if they're not here to help encourage you spiritually, just mark it off the list and don't pay attention to them. All right? It's time for us to get busy serving God. We're going to make sure that we're not going to allow negative people to set us back from achieving what God has for us. Here's the setback of false reports. Also in Numbers 14, verses 28 to 38, you'll see the setback of faithless brethren. Again, these brethren, they had gone with them. They saw the very same thing that Joshua and Caleb had seen. But they were focused on what they couldn't do. So just like you shouldn't listen to all the negativity, let me say, secondly, you shouldn't listen to all the naysayers either. Don't listen to all the naysayers. Again, there's going to be people that say, look, your church can't accomplish that. Your church doesn't have the finances for that. Your church can't do those things in this town. Well, let me ask you a question. Well, what kind of God do we serve? We serve a God that created the universe. We don't serve the God of public opinion. No, we serve a God that created everything. And if God created this church and God's going to build the church, then God can provide what's necessary for the church in every aspect of it. There's a setback of faithless brethren. Some of you may be sitting there thinking tonight, I don't know how we're going to accomplish that financially. Well, let me go ahead and tell you. I don't either, but God's going to do it. God's going to do it. We're going to talk about it a little bit more when it comes to the end of January. Just in the last 4 or 5 months, God's brought $10,000 extra dollars our way as a church. You know what? We've been able to pay for some different things. We've been able to provide some different things. God's blessed in many different ways. This is money that was not expected. But what happened? God provided. Why did God provide? Because we stepped out by faith to do something for God. Now, there's going to be the setback of false reports, and there's going to be a setback of faithless brethren. Don't listen to the negativity. Don't listen to the naysayers. But there's also going to be the setback of 45 years. Notice here, Joshua 14, verse number 10. When Caleb and Joshua saw this in verse 7, he says he was 40 years old. In verse number 10, he says, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He said, I'm 85 years old, and it's been 45 years since I've seen the land. Now, that's a setback. That's a setback. Sometimes there's going to be a setback of time that takes place in your life. You set a goal for God, and you set a goal to achieve something for God. There's going to be some things that get in your way, and you're going to begin to run out of time. The setback of 45 years. Well, let me tell you this. Don't worry about the time that you're never going to get back. That time that you're never going to get back, guess what? You're not going to get it back. So forget about it and move on. And determine now the time that we currently have, let's use that for God and let's do something for God. Don't allow those setbacks to set you back. You see, here we have the sparking of the desire. And Caleb, just like the others, could have taken that fire and allowed it to squelch and dwindle in his life. He could have allowed the spark to fuse out. He could have thrown a wet blanket over it. He could have allowed the setbacks to keep him from pursuing after God. But he didn't. And in verse 13, we see the seizing of the desire. Not the ceasing, but the seizing, as in the conquering of the desire. He went out and he seized that which God had set before him. He didn't allow the naysayers to slow him down. He didn't allow the negativity to keep him from serving God. He didn't allow the time that he's never going to get back to keep him from doing something for God. Listen, he could have sat and he could have moped and he could have worried about all the different things that he was not able to do. But instead, he grabbed hold of himself and he said, hey, I've got something to do for God and I'm going to get busy serving God. The seizing of the desire. Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Guess what? That was the same exact place that he asked for. And what did God do? Verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And then, I think it's interesting, in verse 15, God reminds us of what this place was. And the name Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. God just kind of threw it in there that, remember, this place was called Kirjath Arba. And Arba was one of the giants of the land, because the Anakims were giants. And he was one of the great men. But guess what? Caleb showed up, and he cut his head off just like everybody else. He killed him and got rid of the naysayer. He conquered the land that God had set before him. I think it's interesting that God inserts that there right at the end. He said, oh, by the way, this was the place where the Anakims were. It's the same land. It's the same mountain that he desired. And what did God do? God allowed him to seize it. God allowed him to conquer it. Go back to Joshua chapter number 11. Look at verse number 21. Joshua 11, 21, it says, and at that time came Joshua to cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims, the giants, none of them left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. They went and they conquered the land that was set before them. They were able to seize it. Why? Because it was time to claim that mountain. It was time to quit talking about it, and it was time to start doing it. You see, in your life, you can set some goals, but if all you do is sit around and talk about it and you never do anything, then it's just talk. Then it's just talk. It's time for us to set some goals for God, and then let's get busy doing it for God. Goals set, goals met. Let's do it. Here, they waited for a long time for this mountain, and guess what? Now it was time to take it. Now God has set some mountains before us. We set some goals as a church. We set some challenges together as a church. And we got some mountains ahead of us. Now listen, I'm not naive enough to think that it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Anytime you climb a mountain, it's going to be hard. It's going to take a little bit of character. It's going to take a little bit of rigor. It's going to take a little bit of grit and a little bit of digging in when things get tough. I've climbed a few mountains physically. How many of you ever climbed a mountain or hiked a mountain? Yeah. There comes a point where it's either you keep going and you pass the point of no return, right? There comes a point where you've gone halfway, you might as well just keep on climbing. And a lot of times what happens is things get a little bit difficult. And you come to that decision point in the road on that mountain and you decide, am I going to go back or am I going to press on? Am I going to dig in? Well, it's time to dig in. It's time to get busy doing what God's left us here to do. We got some mountains ahead of us. Let's go and conquer them. It's time for us to rise up, to claim the promises of God, and to keep advancing for the cause of Christ. Listen, God's got great plans for our church. I have no doubt about that. I have full confident belief in that. God's got great plans for our church. But we're never going to accomplish anything if we don't get busy. You won't. We won't accomplish any goals that are set if we don't purpose to get busy and to get involved. Again, you can have the fire kennel. You can have the fire stir. But if you let the setbacks stop you from serving God, you'll never seize the mountain. Don't let the setbacks keep you back from serving God. Say to the naysayers, say to all the negativity, say to the time that you're never going to get back, yeah, and move on. Move on. When the devil shows up, he tries to remind us of our past. What do? We're going to remind him of his future. And we're going to plug on, and we're going to do what God's commanded us to do. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. We've got some challenges before us. We've got some goals set as a church. We've got some things that we're going to accomplish for God. And listen, we're going to accomplish them come hell or high water. We're going to get busy. I'd love for all of us to get involved in it. I would love for every one of us to get involved. But we're going to accomplish these things. Now listen, I have some specific times where I'd like to see these things get accomplished. We may have to adjust the dates depending on how the finances are. But I think God's going to provide it. I believe God's going to provide it. Because you know what? As we continue to upgrade the church of God, as we begin to beautify the house of God, as we begin to steward well that which God has given us, what's God going to do? God's going to give us more. And God's going to send visitors our way. And God's going to bring new members to our church. And we're going to get busy going out soul winning and door knocking and inviting people to church. And we're going to act like our hair's on fire and people are dying and going to hell. And we're going to share the gospel with them. And we're going to see God do great things. It's going to get tough. But we're going to stay busy. Why? Because we've got a mountain to seize. We've got a mountain to seize. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to get busy doing what you've called us to do. Help us to understand, Lord, there's a mountain set before us. You want us to claim that mountain. You want us to go and seize that mountain. You've already stirred our hearts. God, the setbacks are going to come, but we can't allow that to stop us. We've got to be able to seize the land you've given us. Use and guide us. We'll praise you and thank you. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. As the advance plays, you come. Commit in your heart that you want to be one of those in the church.